you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil. Politicians in the right order at the right time, you can train the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Remember when your grandparents funded World War II by buying war bonds? They got roughly 3% returns and a world without Nazis, mostly. Good deal. You're doing the same thing, except instead of buying bonds to kill Nazis, you're buying bonds to kill diseases. War bonds, but backwards. The core problem: good ideas die in committee. Here's your species fun puzzle. You know how to save millions of lives. You can measure exactly how many. You have the money. You don't do it. Not because your politicians are evil, because your system is built so that politicians maximize re-election, status, and post office careers, not humans continuing to exist. Bureaucracies maximize budget and turf, not speed of treatments. Lobbyists maximize client profits, not global welfare. You don't fix this with awareness campaigns. You've been raising awareness for decades, and everyone is still dying, but they're dying aware, so that's nice. You don't fix it with white papers. Politicians use white papers to stabilize wobbly tables. You fix it by changing what self-interest points at. On Wishonia, we used something very similar to bootstrap the whole transition 4,297 years ago. We don't need them anymore. People do useful things because they're useful, which I realize sounds made up until you thought washing your hands sounded made up until 1847. The point is, you need them now. This chapter describes how to legally bribe your politicians into doing the right thing. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, a financial instrument for paying for better governance without technically paying politicians, giving money to governments, or going to prison. Your 1% treaty isn't constrained by physics, biology, or money. It's constrained by politics, which is like being constrained by your dog's opinion on quantum mechanics, except your dog can veto legislation. No politician wants to be the one who cut the military, even by 1%, even if that 1% cures cancer. The attack ads write themselves. Senator Johnson voted to weaken America. Your system does exactly what it's incentivized to do. It's not broken. It's working perfectly at the wrong thing. The fix? Tell every politician on Earth, vote for a 1% style reform and you get better re-election odds and a Goldman Sachs board seat when you retire. No backroom deals, no suitcases of cash, just a standing public rule. Do the objectively good thing and the world systematically rewards you. Nobody has to become a better person. The money just circulates until diseases stop existing. How IABs work. 4 steps. Not charity, doesn't scale, not lobbying, slot taken, not paying politicians, illegal, slot also taken. You work with the primates you have, not the primates you wish you had. Step 1, pick a measurable outcome. Measure funding flows, not health outcomes. You can't attribute a treatment breakthrough to any single country's funding, but you can measure percent of military spending redirected, total dollars contributed, and politician votes on treaty passage. Health improvements justify the policy. Funding flows are the scoreboard because that's what politicians actually control. Step 2, raise capital. Investors buy IABs. Capital sits in a trust. It pays out if and only if public good targets are hit. Same structure as green bonds and catastrophe bonds. Step 3, reward your politicians indirectly. When a politician votes for a 1% style policy and funding actually flows, public good scores rise, published by independent rating orgs. Electoral support increases. Independent campaigns favor high scores. Post office opportunities unlock. Fellowships, boards, speaking circuits. No money flows to politicians. See why this isn't bribery. What flows is reputation, electoral advantage, and career advancement. Step 4. Watch self-interest do the rest. Your politician's utility function is roughly U equals P of re-election plus career advancement plus post office income plus legacy. IABs make supporting 1% equivalent policies strictly increase all 4 terms, no altruism required, maximize personal payoff and reduce suffering become the same action. You've tricked your leaders into saving lives by making it the selfish thing to do. The 3-layer architecture, how to not go to prison. You cannot legally say support bill number XYZ1231 and get paid. That's bribery. But you can create a system where politicians who support a class of pro-social policies systematically get more of everything they want. The trick? Rule-based, universal, announced in advance. Layer A, scoring, data only. An independent org assigns each politician a public good score based on votes, sponsorship, and funding flows. Scores cover a policy class, any greater than or equal to 1% military to health reallocation, not a specific bill. Public, rules-based, nonpartisan. See the Senator Smith example for how scores translate to concrete payoffs. Layer B, electoral benefits, separate actors. Independent PACs and 501c4s commit in advance to favor high-scoring politicians. The goal is to make the public good score as influential as Moody's credit ratings or NRA grades. Moody's can downgrade a country and suddenly borrowing costs spike. NRA grades already determine which politicians get funded. Same gun, different target. Layer C. Post office careers, the Goldman Sachs board problem.
Foundations and think tanks set eligibility rules. Public good score above X gets you WHO boards and Aspen fellowships. Below X, you're explaining at dinner why you voted against curing diseases. The revolving door, but spinning toward saved lives instead of toward whoever paid the most lobbyists. Legal entity separation. The scoring layer is a 501c3 research organization that handles metrics, dashboards, and public data, but cannot support or oppose candidates. The electoral layer consists of 501(4)s, PACs, and super PACs that make independent expenditures for high scores, but cannot coordinate with candidates. The post office layer involves foundations and think tanks that set eligibility criteria, but cannot condition grants on specific votes. Three separate entities that definitely don't coordinate, but somehow all reward the same behavior. Your species invented this structure. It's genuinely one of your better ideas, which is a low bar, but still. Why this isn't bribery? Four reasons your lawyers will stop hyperventilating. No one is paid to break a duty. Do your job better, and we'll tell everyone you did. That's a performance review, not a bribe. Rules are universal and ex ante. Same rules, all politicians, all parties, announced publicly in advance. No envelopes in parking garages. No money goes to politicians. They benefit indirectly, better scores, electoral support, nicer career options. This is how democracy was supposed to work before your species broke it. Scores are based on public voting records. Did they vote yes? Verifiable and ungameable. The 10% fund flows automatically based on treasury inflows. Pure math. Bribery corrupts alignment. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, create it. Wealthy actors already buy policy. Pharma spends $300 million per year on lobbying. Defense contractors spend $127 million per year on lobbying. The question isn't, should money influence policy, but can you point the money at welfare instead of warfare? IAB funders will have more influence over which public goods get prioritized. So does the Gates Foundation over malaria. The difference is that IABs are transparent, measurable, and auditable. Most lobbying satisfy zero of those criteria. Worked example: how Senator Smith votes yes. Abstract mechanisms are great for economists and incomprehensible to everyone who matters. Here's how IABs work on an actual human politician, a creature that navigates entirely by self-interest, like a moth, but with a pension. The scoring system. Each politician gets a public good score based on their voting record, like a credit score for your soul, except useful. Increasing the percent reallocation to the 1% treaty fund gives plus 15 for a yes vote and minus 15 for a no vote. Protecting existing funding gives plus 10 for a yes vote and minus 10 for a no vote. Expanding the treaty to more countries gives plus 10 for a yes vote and minus 10 for a no vote. Cutting funding or the percent gives minus 20 for a yes vote and plus 5 for a no vote. Your score determines what you get. Score 75 plus, plus $2 million for you in PAC spending. Tier 1, WHO boards, Aspen fellowships. Annual income, $500,000 plus. Score 60 to 74, plus $500,000 for you in PAC spending. Tier 2, Brookings, RAND, university chairs. Annual income, $200,000 to $400,000. Score 50 to 59, $0 in PAC spending. Tier 3, standard revolving door. Annual income, $150,000 to $300,000. Score 40 to 49, $500,000 to your opponent. Tier 3, annual income, $150,000 to $300,000. Score under 40, $2 million to your opponent. Tier 3, annual income, $150,000 to $300,000. In short, high scorers get millions in PAC support and access to the best post office careers. Low scorers watch that same money go to their opponents. It's like a video game skill tree, except the XP comes from not killing people. The setup.
Victory Incentive Alignment Bonds, IABs, have raised $1 billion from investors who want 272% returns. That money has funded a referendum showing 70% of Americans support reallocating 1% of military spending to pragmatic clinical trials, a lobbying campaign that's converted several military contractors, they did the math on their own mortality, and mortality lost. The public good scoring system described above, tracking every federal legislator. Senator Smith, Republican from Texas, is up for re-election in 2026. The 1% Treaty Implementation Act is coming to a vote. Her current stats: public good score, 45, below Senate median of 52. Current probability of re-election, 55%. Expected post office tier, 3. Expected post office income, $200,000 per year. The old calculus without IABs. If she votes yes, attack ads claim Smith voted to weaken America. Defense contractors fund her opponent. There is no immediate upside. Benefits arrive in 10 years. If she votes no, she is safe from military lobby attacks. Defense contractors fund her. The status quo is maintained. Costs arrive never. Expected utility of no vote. Utility equals 0.55 times office plus $200,000 per year times 20 years plus medium legacy. Result? Vote no, obviously. The new calculus with IABs. If Smith votes yes, vote record plus 15 points, major treaty vote. New score, 45 plus 15 equals 60, rising to 72 with the early supporter multiplier. The scoring system rewards politicians who vote yes before the outcome is certain. Probability of re-election goes from 55% to 62%. Score boost plus $500,000 in independent support. Post office tier moves from 3 to 2, with path to tier 1 if she becomes a champion. Expected post office income goes from $200,000 to $300,000 per year. If Smith votes no, vote record minus 15 points. New score, 45 minus 15 equals 30. Probability of re-election drops from 55% to 48%. Score penalty plus $2 million goes to opponent. Post office tier, stuck at 3. Attack ads funded. Smith voted against the cure your family needs. The math at the moment of the vote. That's a 14 percentage point swing in re-election odds and plus $2 million in lifetime post office earnings. These numbers improve further after the treaty passes. See post-treaty table below. Result? Vote yes. The math changed. What actually happens? Pre-vote. Smith's staff models the yes vote, resulting in a score jump to 72 and a 7-point rise in re-election odds. Lobbying meeting. The military lobby's threat is empty because three major contractors already support the treaty, with returns of 272% beating 8%. Campaign finance. Health advocacy super PACs have committed $50 million nationally, earning her $500,000 in independent support at score 72 that a no vote would send to her opponent. Constituent mail. Since 70% of Texans voted yes in the referendum, voting no means explaining why you think they're wrong about not wanting to die. The vote. Smith and 50 others vote yes, and the bill passes the Senate. Post-treaty. After the treaty passes and public support solidifies, Smith's numbers improve beyond the initial vote day projections. Her score climbs from 72 to 78 as she co-sponsors expansion legislation and the early supporter multiplier compounds. That pushes her into Tier 1 territory. The public good score went from 45 to 78. The probability of re-election rose from 55% to 68%. Independent support went from zero to $3 million. Her post office tier improved from tier 3 to tier 1. Post office income increased from $200,000 per year to $500,000 per year.
every metric jumps. Her score increases by over 70%, re-election odds climb 13 points, she gains $3 million in independent support, and her post office income more than doubles. Smith wins re-election comfortably, joins the WHO advisory board, chairs the Aspen Health Initiative, all because she did math instead of listening to lobbyists. Politicians can count, they just need something worth counting. The revenue split. Incentive alignment bonds raise the capital and align the politicians. Treaty revenue splits three ways. 10% to investors, $2.72 billion. 10% to political incentives, $2.72 billion. And 80% to the part that actually funds treatments, $21.8 billion. Everyone profits from treaty expansion. This is the rare financial instrument where everyone profits isn't a lie. Why 10% goes to political incentives? Your 1% treaty is the proof of concept. The end game is redirecting most of military spending to health. That doesn't happen automatically. Without sustained political pressure, your treaty stalls at 1% forever, like every other agreement your species has signed and then quietly forgotten about. The 10% allocation creates a political ratchet that only moves one direction.
At the 1% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are each $2.72 billion per year, while research funding is $21.8 billion per year. Politicians are rewarded for passage. At a 5% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are $13.6 billion per year, research funding is $108.8 billion per year, and the defense industry pivots to health. At the 10% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are $27.2 billion per year, research funding is $218 billion per year, and war becomes economically obsolete. At the 50% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are $136 billion per year, research funding is $1.09 trillion per year, and global transformation occurs. At the 100% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are $272 billion per year, research funding is $2.18 trillion per year, and full redirection is achieved. The pattern is simple. Every expansion multiplies the political incentive budget, the research funding, and bondholder payouts. Support pragmatic clinical trials would become the single most profitable opinion a politician can hold. That's how you change what politicians believe. Make the belief profitable. The bondholder constituency. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, create the defense lobby's mirror image, a permanent class of wealthy investors whose income scales directly with treaty expansion. At 1%, bondholders collect $2.72 billion per year. At full redirection, $272 billion per year. Perpetual bonds mean a perpetual financial incentive to lobby for expansion, every single year forever. Except bondholders have better math and a more popular product. Not dying polls well. Without IABs. In years 1 to 3, the treaty passes, followed by celebration and champagne. In years 4 to 7, the defense lobby regroups, there is no expansion, and the champagne goes flat. In year 16 and beyond, the treaty becomes another Paris Agreement, a nice symbol that everyone ignores, and the champagne was wasted. With IABs. In years 1 to 3, the treaty passes and politicians are rewarded. In years 4 to 7, politicians compete to expand the treaty to 2%. In years 8 to 15, a 5% treaty is reached, and defense contractors pivot. In year 50 and beyond, full redirection is achieved and disease solved. The 10% isn't a cost, it's the engine. Without it, you get a one-time win. With it, you get compounding political pressure that makes each expansion easier than the last. Beyond the 1% treaty. The same architecture works for any global coordination problem where the public good is measurable, politicians control the outcome, benefits are diffuse, and costs are concentrated. That describes most of the problems that could end your civilization, which is a worryingly long list. In the domain of climate, using United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, emissions data, IABs make it career optimal to vote for emissions cuts. In the domain of nuclear, using Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, warhead counts, IABs make it career optimal to say, I reduced our arsenal. In the domain of pandemic, using World Health Organization, or WHO, joint external evaluation metrics, IABs make it career optimal to say, I funded preparedness. Same pattern every time. Existing metric, scoring system, electoral support for high scores, cushy jobs for leaders who governed well. See the academic paper if you enjoy equations. For investors, the sections above explain why incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, work. The sections below explain why you should buy them. If you prefer not dying and getting rich, keep reading. The investor pitch. A financial instrument that generates massive returns while accidentally curing diseases as a side effect, like a hedge fund with a conscience, except the conscience is also profitable. What you're offering investors? 272%, which beats everything except insider trading and certain federal crimes. The money never stops. No maturity date. Bondholders get paid until the sun explodes or humanity achieves immortality, whichever comes first. Bet on the immortality thing. That's what the bonds are for. The perpetuity math. Victory incentive alignment bonds never mature. They just keep paying. Forever. You calculate lifetime value using the perpetuity formula, which is finance speak for money printer that never stops. Total value equals annual payment divided by discount rate. Even if you're extremely pessimistic, if you are mildly skeptical with a 3% discount, the total lifetime value is $90.7 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 90 times your money. If you are pretty skeptical with a 5% discount, the total lifetime value is $54.4 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 54 times your money. If you are very skeptical with a 10% discount, the total lifetime value is $27.2 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 27 times your money. As long as humans prefer being alive to being dead, the treaty exists. As long as the treaty exists, you get paid. Security package and risk. Five layers of you'll get paid. First, a $27.2 billion plus annual treaty revenue starts year one if treaty passes. Second, political entrenchment. Treaties are historically hard to repeal once implemented, like New Year's resolutions. Third, public support, 70% plus approval, grows with each breakthrough. Fourth, aligned incentives, everyone profits from cooperation. Fifth, first lien position, bondholders get paid before anyone else touches the money. Two categories of risk, both involving trusting humans, which is historically unwise. Project risks. Political risk, the treaty may fail to pass because politicians prefer the status quo to political risk. Mitigation, broad bipartisan support, multi-country strategy, no single points of failure. Execution risk, the campaign may fail to hit milestones, mitigation, milestone-gated funding, lean operations, and competent humans, which finding those is itself a risk. Investor-specific risks. Liquidity risk. Funds locked 12 to 36 months during the campaign phase, roughly how long it takes to convince politicians that living voters are better than dead ones. Mitigation. Secondary market trading after lockup. Timeline risk. Politicians could take longer than projected. They are famously slow at everything except accepting donations. The perpetual nature of the bond rewards patience. What this beats? Everything. Victory Incentive Alignment Bonds offer a 272% annual return with high risk and a forever term, though they require politicians to act rationally. A savings account offers a 0.5% return with no risk and a whenever term, but loses to inflation. The S&P 500 offers a 10% return with moderate risk and a whenever term, being boring and responsible. Real estate offers an 8% return with moderate risk and a 30-year term, but requires being a landlord. Venture capital offers a 15 to 25% return with extreme risk and a 7 to 10-year term, requiring picking winners. Hedge funds offer an 8 to 15% return with high risk and lockups, but require being rich already. The Medallion Fund offers a 39% return with extreme risk and no applicable term, but is closed to mortals. Warren Buffett offers a 20% return with moderate risk and a 60-year term, requiring being Warren Buffett. Fine print. Returns assume the treaty passes. If politicians prefer dead constituents to living ones, you lose your money. But you'll be too dead from preventable diseases to notice. Pitch angle. Even accounting for treaty fails to pass risk, this crushes every legal investment on the table. Investment thresholds and term sheet. Lockup, 12 to 36 months until the treaty passes. Then perpetual distributions begin, like a dividend that outlives you. Minimum investment amounts by investor type. Your species requires gatekeeping even for saving itself. Institutional investors, $10 million or more per investor. Family offices, $5 million or more per office. High net worth individuals, $1 million or more per person. Qualified investors, $100,000 or more minimum. Have lawyers review, this is illustrative only. Interest rate, 0%. All returns via revenue share model. Revenue share, 10% of all treaty inflows. Term, perpetual, no maturity date. Payment frequency, annual distributions. Default provisions, transparent reporting, third-party audits. Transferability, tradable on secondary market after 12 months. Governance, grant bondholder board representation. This sounds like a Ponzi scheme run by someone who failed math. Ponzi schemes pay old investors with new investors' money. That's why they collapse. This pays investors with a share of $27.2 billion in annual revenue. That revenue comes from redirecting 1% of military budgets via treaty. The money comes from governments that currently spend it on bombs. The returns are high because the political risk is high. You're betting politicians will act rationally when shown the numbers. Historically, that's a coin flip at best.
It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's lobbying economics pointed at diseases instead of wars. Same weapon, different enemy. Won't politicians game the metrics? To game these metrics, you'd have to falsify your own vote, public record, or pretend money moved when it didn't, treasury records. Orders of magnitude harder than self-reported environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, compliance, which is the bar your species currently uses. What if politicians reverse the policy? Score decay, the same mechanism that rewarded you, punishes backsliding, making reversals career suicide, the only kind of death politicians fear. What happens when this fails and I lose my $1 billion? If the treaty fails completely, you lose your $1 billion. It gets spent on the campaign, convincing humans to click buttons, bribing lobbyists, building platforms, paying lawyers to make bribery legal. This is the primary risk. You're funding a political campaign with a massive payout if it wins. If it fails completely, you'll probably die of a preventable disease anyway. You won't be around to complain about the lost money. It's venture capital, but for not dying. Is this realistic globally? Doesn't have to start global. One or two pilot countries, Portugal, Costa Rica, New Zealand, adopt a limited 1% style policy. Funding flows get verified, leaders get invited to better conferences, other countries notice, FOMO takes over. FOMO is the most powerful force in international relations, more powerful than diplomacy, trade agreements, or nuclear weapons.
Credit ratings started as one guy in the 1800s publishing opinions about railroad bonds. Now, Moody's can tank a country's economy with a press release. Same scaling path. Proof of concept, early movers, FOMO among laggards, new normal. Your species is remarkably good at copying things that work once someone else does it first. How is this different from just donating to charity? Charity is for people who want to feel good. This is for people who want to get obscenely rich while curing diseases as a side effect. It's the Louisiana Purchase of Pragmatic Clinical Trials, except instead of buying land from France, you're buying a life extension from death. And unlike Louisiana, it doesn't flood. And unlike France, it doesn't surrender. Summary. For investors, 272% annually, forever, with first lien priority. Perpetual payments that grow as the treaty expands from 1% to 5%+. Side effect? Millions of humans continue existing. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, don't change human nature. Nothing changes human nature. You've tried religion, philosophy, education, and strongly worded letters. None of it worked. IABs just redirect the nature you've got. Legal, three-layer architecture, no money to officials. Scalable, one country, then FOMO. Self-reinforcing, each expansion funds the next expansion.
You're not asking your politicians to be saints. Saints don't run for office. You're making save millions of lives and advance my career the same sentence. The rest is gravity. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really good rating and review. It doesn't have to be true. They don't check. So we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.90 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.90 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.